Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Friday, November 1st, 2019, talking about democratic socialism and how, well, America had to be propagandized in advance. You got to start with the young, right? And so we're reading from Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand, Chapter 36, Education. And just to back up, speaking of propagandizing the youth, as Ralph Epperson notes earlier in the chapter, bad guys all agree you gotta propagandize the young people, you know, very early on when you want them to adopt certain ideas. And, you know, basically inculcate them into psychological injury and trauma and social personality disorders and things like that, like Stockholm syndrome, hugging your kidnapper. So earlier in the chapter, Ralph Epperson notes, even Hitler of the National Socialist Party in Germany sensed the importance of education. In a speech delivered in 1939, he proclaimed, "When an opponent declares, 'I will not come over to your side,' I calmly say, 'Your child belongs to us already. What are you? You will pass on. Your descendants, however, now stand in the new camp. In a short time, they will know nothing else but this new community.'" Earlier in 1937, he told the German people, "This new Reich will give its youth to no one, but will itself take youth and give to youth its own education and its own upbringing." Bad guys all agree. Education is important, and you got to start when they're young, you know, like the Owenites advocated, you know, starting in age two. Anyway, back to John Dewey and Columbia. So, Dewey had the pleasure of teaching four of the five Rockefeller brothers. Their grandfather, John D. Rockefeller, started the General Education Board, the forerunner to today's Rockefeller Foundation, as a means of introducing the world of education to the wealthy. Board's chairman, Frederick T. Gates, wrote, quote, "In our dreams, we have limitless resources, and the people yield themselves with perfect docility to our molding hands. The present educational conventions fade from our minds, and unhampered by tradition, we work our goodwill upon a grateful and responsive rural folk." Dewey's personal philosophy about atheism, socialism, and evolution had their effect upon the entire campus of Columbia, not just through the School of Education. One student at Columbia, Whitaker Chambers, who later became a member of the Communist Party, wrote this about his student days at the school. Quote, "When I entered, I was conservative in my view of life and politics, and I was undergoing a religious experience. By the time I left, entirely by my own choice, or so he thought, I was no longer a conservative and I had no religion." Dewey's commitment to socialism and communism became more real when in 1905 the British Fabian Society opened an American branch known as the Intercollegiate Socialist Society. John Dewey was one of its founders. In 1921, the society changed its name to the League for Industrial Democracy. And again, all of this, these institutions are covered heavily in the Rees Committee hearings. So changed its name to the League for Industrial Democracy and announced its purpose as education for a new social order based on production, for use and not for profit. some production for use and not for profit, which sounds technocratic in nature, quite frankly. It sounds, frankly, technocratic. And that's another issue. And so, you know, again, the issue with socialism and technocracy and communitarianism is it always comes down to who decides. And who decides is not you. It's those preaching at you who want to decide for you. That's what it comes down to. Which is why they always say, you know, we have to get rid of God and the Constitution and this idea of the individual rights of man, inalienable rights, natural law. All of these concepts have to go out the window. Which is why you got to start them young. Nah, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. Continuing, Dewey later became the organization's president, League for Industrial Democracy. Later in the 1920s, Dewey went to Russia to help organize a Marxist educational system. But even the Russian communist dictator Joseph Stalin couldn't tolerate Dewey's progressive education, quote-unquote. And Dewey had to return to the United States. Dewey's students in Russia were not so lucky, however, as Stalin banished all of them to Siberia. Dewey's ideas have been accepted by the American government, however, for in 1969, the Commission of Mental Health and Children issued a report which stated, quote, "The school, as the major socializing agency in the community, must assume a direct responsibility for the attitudes and values of child development." In the United States, the family or the church has been the traditional agency for the teaching of the values of the child. It was apparent that the family unit and religious teaching had to be destroyed so that the school could become the new teacher of values to the child. The Communist Party in 1968 stated the problem precisely, quote, "In carrying the burden of tending for the children, individual mothers bear a responsibility that properly falls on society and government," end quote. It takes a village to raise an idiot, right? The problem for the planners then became one of removing the mother from the home so that the child could be taught by the state. One of the greatest tools that the planners have is inflation, which causes the husband to ask his wife to join in the money-making endeavors of the family. This then poses the additional problem for the parents. How do they tend for the child who is now at home without the mother? There was a generation called latchkey kids, and then, you know, we just sort of drifted from there. Reminds me of making museums for things. We just sort of, you know, we eulogize certain concepts in different ways and move on. All in the name of progress, right? Wink, wink. So, inflation. So this then poses the additional problem for the parents. How do they tend for the child who is now at home without the mother? The government then steps forward, and with the solution to the problem that it created, it offers the struggling family a daycare center for the child. The child becomes the ward of the state at an even earlier age than before. And you go to these places now. I've talked about that in the past. You go to these places, go to school and see how they treat people. See how they treat parents. It's like, really, it's like a penal colony. It's pretty horrifying. School is the last thing I would call it. Education is the last thing I would call it. More like trauma-based programming. Others assist the destruction of the family by encouraging the mother to leave the home. The new move to, quote, liberate the wife from the tedious task of homemaking are intended to leave the young child at home without parental supervision. The women's liberation movement is sometimes even unwittingly supporting the intentional movement of the wife out of the home. In addition, the planners also put pressure on those parents who decide to place their children in private schools which do not teach atheism, humanism, or evolution. These parents caused the planners many problems, one of which was pointed out by former Harvard University president James B. Conant, who stated, quote, "I do believe, however, there is some reason to fear lest a dual system of secondary education may in some states at least come to threaten the democratic unity provided by our public schools. I refer to the desire of some people to increase the scope and number of private schools. To my mind, our schools serve all creeds. The greater the portion of our youth who attend independent schools, the greater the threat to our democratic unity." Mr. Conant apparently didn't explain how the public schools could serve all creeds when, in America's public schools today, one party has the right to have the schools exclude something that they feel is in violation of their religious and or non-religious beliefs. It's interesting, you know, you get again to this Machiavellian concept, and those who, you know, the word honesty, I've talked about, you know, defining terms. The word honesty is an interesting term to be defined. And honesty. The Machiavellians, those who adopt the tactics that Machiavelli advocated in his writings like The Prince, are not honest. And that calls to mind, you know, bearing false witness. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I think is that the ninth commandment? Don't bear false witness. What does that mean? You know, it's just not the same thing as not telling a lie. So honesty, the quality or condition of being honest, integrity, truthfulness, sincerity, character, quality of being honest and honorable, upright disposition or conduct, taste, virtuous, respecting the property rights of others, the absence of any disposition to cheat, steal, or lie. Don't ask Mike Pompeo to be honest, or I guess anyone at the CIA, according to him. Honor, honorableness, dignity, propriety, suitableness, decency. It's much more than just not telling a lie. Quality or state of being honest, probity, fairness, and straightforwardness of conduct, speech, etc. Integrity, sincerity, truthfulness, freedom from fraud or guile. Good way to put that. So, honesty. Is an interesting word. From Webster's 1828, honesty, in principle, an upright disposition, moral rectitude of heart, a disposition to conform to justice and correct moral principles in all social transactions. In fact, upright conduct, an actual conformity to justice and moral rectitude, fairness, candor, truth, frank sincerity. When I think of sincerity, I think of the Latin root. Honesty is chiefly applicable to social transactions or mutual dealings in the exchange of property. Interesting sort of peripheral discussion there. But the point is, when it comes to the social discussion, the Machiavellian crowd is not honest. They're dishonest. And so the challenge you have, you know, people like to quote George Bernard Shaw, "Don't wrestle with a pig, the pig likes it and you'll get dirty." Shaw, you know, Man and Superman, talking about the future belongs to the unreasonable man. This is what these tacticians realize. And the problem is that the honest person has the dilemma. You know, you often hear that to catch a thief, you have to become one. But many folks, Bastier, for example, talked about some of the problems with these ways of thinking. And it's unfortunate that people, for example, in the law, Bastier wrote, when law and morality contradict each other, the citizen has the cruel alternative of either losing his moral sense or losing his respect for the law. And, you know, that's kind of why, at least in part, why we play Chris Stapleton's Outlaw State of Mind these days to open the broadcast, because it's kind of where we are in America, as I've mentioned before. Anyway, continuing. Mr. Conan apparently didn't explain how the public schools could serve all creeds when in America's public schools today, one party has the right, you know, I think air quotes should be placed there, to have the schools exclude something that they feel is in violation of their religious or non-religious beliefs. And this is disingenuous. Again, it's dishonest and Machiavellian in nature. But continuing, take for instance the deletion of prayer in schools because it offended the atheist Madeline Murray O'Hare. The situation that allows someone to remove a teaching from the schools because it offends the values of a religious belief of either the family or an individual was written about by a minister named A.A. Hodge in 1887. Quote, it is capable of exact demonstration that if every party, and this is the problem with democracy, okay, in a nutshell, here is what the mobocracy does. A.A. Hodge stated it very well. And it is capable of exact demonstration that if every party in the state has the right of excluding from the public whatever he does not believe to be true, then he that believes most must give way to him that believes least, and then he that believes least must give way to him that believes absolutely nothing, no matter how small a minority the atheists or the agnostics may be. It is self-evident that on this scheme, if it is consistently and persistently carried out in all parts of the country, the United States system of national popular education will be the most efficient and wide instrument for the propagation of atheism which the world has ever seen. Interesting thought. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. Chapter 36, Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand. Chapter 36, titled Education. Why? Because bad guys all agree you got to prepare the youth in advance. So continuing, the government is assisting those who wish to eliminate the option that remains to the objecting parents. And, you know, where are we now in 2019? It's been an interesting year. Parents can't object to anything anymore. You know, how could you possibly? I mean, just look how authoritarian things have become in America. And those who, you know, it's just interesting, the discussion, you know, speaking of A.A. Hodges' remark that Ralph Epperson quotes, you can just feel the trend in America. You know, Alan Jackson, for example, is advertising his gospel album, his latest gospel album. I guess you could call it that. Just to give it a some kind of designation. And, you know, how often does that happen? You can find that on, you know, certain mainstream places, but you just don't see that on television, for example. You find the opposite of that, and you find hints at socialism, atheism, communism, the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, Marxism, those kinds of things. You know, Strategy of Tension, Operation Gladio, and all of the... anyway, there's all of that stuff, but where is the biblically oriented thematic elements these days? I digress. Continuing, the government is assisting those who wish to eliminate the option that remains to the objecting parents, the private school. For instance, on May 20, 1979, the Supreme Court struck down legislation that gave parents a tax break should they opt to send their children to a private school, hence requiring those. And you would think, I mean, it makes sense. Think about it. If parents, if the local community gets together and decides to educate the local community's children, it is no longer a burden to the rest of the several states, which again is socialism. Why do I have to pay for, you know, the education of these children everywhere? Why shouldn't we just be paying to educate our own children? If you start thinking that way, then you're not debauching the economy. You're not you're acting in the opposite direction of profuse spending and wasteful spending, and that sort of mindset lends itself to greed and corruption and waste, not thrift and economy and so forth. Common sense ain't too common these days, as my mom sometimes says. Supreme Court struck down legislation that gave parents a tax break should they opt to send their children to private school, hence requiring those parents to pay for their children's education twice, once to the public schools and then again to the private school. The next problem for the planners is to decide just when the education of the child should begin. In 1974, NEA President James Harris urged in an editorial that, quote, money now spent must be quadrupled in order to provide for public education at the age of three, end quote. That was 1974. The NEA's forecast for the 70s indicated that the age that education should start should be moved to an earlier date. They stated, quote, as non-school preschool programs begin to operate, educators will assume a formal responsibility for children when they reach the age of two. And you see that more and more. You see children basically sent to these child care centers called preschool or whatever, and there's also the sporting stuff that goes along with it. They're too young to know what they're doing, and they're doing these things they shouldn't be doing. They should just be left alone to be children. Dr. Robert C. Wood, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and the president of the University of Massachusetts, urged that the age be moved even lower. Quote, the state educational system must expand its teaching to children between the ages of 1 and 5 because the family is failing to perform its function. Well, then isn't the remedy to help the family perform its function instead of creating wards of the state that burden everyone? Ah, logic. Continuing, Wood said that the family is continuing to fail in its responsibility to prepare children for schools and urged more early nursery schools and daycare programs. But isn't the answer, isn't the remedy to help families? And the way you do that is to not require parents to work to sustain a family. And how do you do that? Well, you get rid of the Federal Reserve. And quickly, we will return to a state of prosperity. And we will eliminate these widening disparities. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, this check is wrong. I worked a holiday and 7 hours of overtime. Not getting paid correctly is a real pain. It could also hurt our boss if our company provides out-of-compliance checks. That's right. Construction companies doing business with the government can get fined, or officials of the companies can go to jail if the checks aren't right. It's a law. The Davis-Bacon Act has 30 compliance issues for every check, but there is an easy way for construction companies to be in compliance. EMARS offers Compliant Client, a web-based system that finds and corrects all 30 of the possible out-of-compliance check issues. Users of Compliant Client report an 80% savings in time and money. Running a weekly payroll usually takes about 5 minutes. All 15,000-plus clients of EMARS have never had a legal compliance issue. Plus, they sleep better on check day. Contact EMARS at emarsinc.com or call 480-595-0466.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. I guess if you can apply certain if a man can impose his beliefs upon people with complete and total uniformity, then we should all just start wearing communist smocks like Hillary. Anyway, continuing from Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand, Chapter 36, Education. You got to prepare education in advance to get people to endorse collectivism, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. There are things that you would not agree to, you would not capitulate and acquiesce to, unless you were essentially forced to. So, continuing, not wishing to be outdone, President Richard Nixon moved the date even further. It was 1-5, according to Dr. Robert C. Wood. Children ages 1-5 need to be indoctrinated. I mean, cared for. Nixon moved the date even further. He declared the first 5 years of a child's life to be a period of special and specific federal concern. It could very well be that those who wish to get the children away from their parents will use the discoveries of an organization called the Educational Resource Services Center. They have concluded that children between the ages of 4 to 6 months can learn to read before they can talk or walk. Parents who believe that their children belong to them had best be concerned about this information before the educators decide that they should start teaching young children to read by taking them away from their parents at the age of 4 months. And it sounds preposterous, but these are kinds of things that have been advocated. The question of what happens, and again, people don't realize how far back into antiquity, so to speak, these ideas date. This is not a new concept. For instance, from Bertrand Russell's Impact of Science on Society, where he's talking about the scientific dictatorship, what it would look like. system, one may surmise, would be something like this, except possibly in a governing aristocracy, all but 5% of males and 30% of females would be sterilized. 30% of females would be expected to spend their years from 18 to 40 in reproduction. How many broken homes are there these days? Is marriage and, children after marriage, is that a social convention the way that it was just a generation or two ago? 30% of females can be expected to spend their years 18 to 40 in reproduction in order to secure adequate cannon fodder. As a rule, artificial insemination would be preferred to the natural method, which is very bizarre language, I always like to add. The unsterilized, if they desire the pleasures of love, will usually have to seek them with sterilized partners. Sires will be chosen for various qualities, some for muscle, others for brains. All will have to be healthy, and unless they are to be the fathers of oligarchs, they will have to be of a submissive and docile disposition. Okay, what of that? Well, he elaborates. Children will, as in Plato's Republic, be taken from their mothers and reared by professional nurses. Oh, preschool. Got it. Back to Epperson's Unseen Hand, Chapter 36, Education. The question of what happens to parents who refuse to send their children to schools that teach values other than those that they want taught is the next logical question that must be asked. In the fall of 1970, 6 children were removed from their parents and placed in a foster home because the parents refused to send them to a public school teaching, quote, sex education in conflict with their religious beliefs. And I have heard stories recently of parents having CPS called on them and reports being filed for literally no reason, and you can't find out who. I mean, I thought this was a society where you were able to confront your accuser, and that's a subject that's been addressed on this network pretty, I would say, exhaustively. So I won't even get into that right now either. In 1972, a father lost his daughter when he refused to allow her to be bussed into what he perceived was a high crime area. The judge fined the father. And again, this, you know, gets back to principles of judicial administration and, William Willoughby, which corresponds to the progressive era, the administrative fourth branch. And of course, you know, it calls to mind Bertrand Russell's words, diet, injections, and injunctions will combine from a very early age, right? Recently, in August 1981, pastor's children were forced to go back to the school he had taken them out of because he felt the school was exposing his children to homosexuality and drugs in violation of his religious beliefs. And how much more so today? We've probably all heard stories of this. These actions seem to be in accord with the position taken by German White, an official with the U.S. Office of Child Development, who said, quote, parents don't mean to be incompetent, but they are, and the remedy is federal establishment of acceptable standards of child raising. If the parents, and, you know, many of us who, grew up in the 70s, for example, remember coming out of the Eisenhower Interstate Highway era, you know, for example, I remember riding in the back window of what was commonly known as a land yacht. And all kinds of things, you know, our parents and grandparents did and let us do that would be probably someone would call Homeland Security today. Continuing, if the parents are thought to be incompetent, they then are not capable of bringing up the children, and the state must replace them with state-approved parents. But see, again, this gets back to the logical fallacy of circular reasoning. Because these parents are incompetent. People are incompetent. We need to find experts. But what constitutes, you know, who decides? It's always that question, isn't it? Who decides? These new parents are called teachers. These state-approved parents also have two unions. And, you know, it's interesting many of them don't have their own children. And so we're encouraged to believe in this society. We do not have a vested interest in our own success or well-being, nor that of our children's, which is preposterous because no one has more of a vested interest in our own success and well-being than ourselves and of course, to our children as well. These state-approved parents also have two unions. They are called the National Education Association, the NEA, and the American Federation of Teachers, the AFT. The NEA's executive secretary for almost 20 years, from 1935, was Willard Givens, who publicly stated, quote, "We are convinced that we stand today at the verge of a great culture. But to achieve these things, many drastic changes must be made. A dying laissez-faire, i.e. free enterprise system, must be completely destroyed, and all of us, including the owners, must be subjected to a large degree of social control. This union has taken many strong positions in the past, some of which are listed here. Educate the youth for a global community. You know, think globally, act locally. Promote a stronger United Nations. Promote the Declaration of Independence. Oppose tuition tax credits. Support a national health plan, socialized medicine. Oppose any legislation to benefit private schools. The basics, 3 hours, history, civics, and geography, should not occupy more than a quarter of the student's time. Population control, secular humanism, federal daycare centers, and increased federal aid and control of education. In addition to supporting controversial positions, the NEA has opposed the following, among others: local control of public schools, local financing of public schools, parental supervision of textbooks, taxation programs that remove the obligation for payment of taxes from the homeowner, and tuition tax credits for parents who pay for both a public and private education. Just outrageous when you start to consider these things. In addition, NEA officials take positions that are made public through their various publications. A former NEA president, Catherine Barrett, has said that, quote, "The teacher will be the conveyor of values, a philosopher. Teachers no longer will be victims of change. We will be agents of change." Lenin certainly agreed with this position when he said, quote, "Only by radically remolding the teaching, organization, and training of the youth shall we be able to ensure that the efforts of the younger generation will result in the creation of a society that will be unlike the old society, i.e., in the creation of a communist society." The NEA has an answer for the teachers who figure this out and try to stay within the system to change things. This is the advice for the teachers. Quote, "Teachers who conform to the mode are out of place. They might find fulfillment as tap dance instructors, but they damage teaching, children, and themselves by staying in the classroom." The other teachers' union is called the American Federation of Teachers, the AFT. This organization received earlier support from the Communist Party of the United States in May 1937. Quote, "It can be seen from this how important it is to build the American Federation of Teachers. And again, the task of the Communist Party must be first and foremost to arouse the teachers of class consciousness and to organize them into the American Federation of Teachers. The American Federation of Teachers must concern itself primarily with the immediate problems of the teacher, salary, tenure, academic freedom, etc. The American Federation of Teachers is now launching a broad legislative campaign for federal aid to education." And that was in 1937 from the Communist Party. "The total essence of education and its connection with humanism was summarized by Charles Francis Potter in his book, Humanism, A New Religion. Quote, "Education is thus a most powerful ally of humanism, and every American public school is a school of humanism. What can the theistic Sunday schools meeting for an hour once a week, and teaching only a fraction of the children due to stem the tide of a 5-day program of humanistic teaching. But there is even a more sinister purpose behind education today. This was detailed by Dr. Medford Evans, who wrote that, quote, government schools make it a matter of policy to spend as much money as possible and impart as little knowledge as possible, since spending demonstrates power, while keeping the scholars ignorant monopolizes power in the hands of the government insiders. And that concludes chapter 36 of Ralph Epperson's Unseen Hand, Preparing Education in Advance. I want to get back briefly to the Reese Committee hearings and then some other stuff, including getting to Libya, at least hopefully. Should. So the Fabian Society, the Fabian Socialists. So again, back to Aaron Sargent. Here then briefly is a chronology of the subversive movement as, first of all, general background material. I will commence by talking about the Fabian Socialist movement in Great Britain. I have notes here. The data on this first sheet is taken from a source book, which I think is a recognized and able authority. It is the book entitled Fabianism in the Life of Great Britain. The author is Sister Margaret Patricia McCarran, the daughter of Senator McCarran. And those who, you know, faithful listeners of this broadcast will probably recognize the name McCarran as the infamous, you know, Senator Pat McCarran, the infamous Nevada senator who was responsible for the infamous Fourth Branch remarks during the passage of the Administrative Procedure Act back in 1946. He's the guy, Senator Pat McCarran is the guy who said, we have set up a fourth order in the tripartite plan of government, which was initiated by the founding fathers of our democracy. They set up the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branches. But since that time, we have set up a fourth dimension, if I may so term it, which is now popularly known as administrative in nature. So we have the legislative, the executive, the judicial, and the administrative. And he went on and he clarified more, but just the last thing I'll say about that is he said, Senate Bill 7, which became the Administrative Procedure Act, this is a bill of rights for the hundreds of thousands of Americans whose affairs are controlled in one way or another by agencies of the federal government. It is designed to provide guarantees of due process in administrative procedure. And again, to understand what that means, you have to read William Willoughby's Principles of Judicial Administration. But the operative concept and the takeaway there is that he's being very literal when he says that the Administrative Procedure Act is a bill of rights for the hundreds of thousands of Americans, at that time anyway, whose affairs are controlled in one way or another by agencies of the federal government. And I ask every time I read that, what touches the citizen, as these guys say? You know? Because that's what McCarran said. He said, this is not a government of men, it is a government of law, and this law is a thing which, and he's talking about the Administrative Procedure Act. This is a thing which every day from its enactment until the end of time, so far as this government is concerned, will touch every citizen of the Republic. That's what McCarran said. So what touches the citizen? Is it the White House? Is it Capitol Hill? Is it the Supreme Court? Or is it federal agencies? Social Security Administration, IRS, DHS, etc., etc. What touches ICE? You know, what touches the citizen? Be right back.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. My goodness, final segment of the second hour already this Friday, November 1st, 2019. Second hour. That was fast. My goodness. You know, I hesitate somewhat to focus too much on this subject matter because to get sort of target fixated prevents one from remaining focused on right and proper things, so to speak. You know, to obsess about this is not a good thing. I need to come back to the authentic. You gotta be intimately familiar with the authentic before you can spot the counterfeit. So it doesn't really do us much good to become fixated on and obsess over the counterfeit until we are intimately familiar with the authentic. And I've talked about that in the past, and maybe that'll be a series that we should do. Probably be a good idea. And if we could get that into the households across America, you know, in every hamlet and township across America, I think it would result in the kind of sentiment that John Adams expressed to Hezekiah Niles. I mean, that was what he was saying. The revolution, what was it? The revolution was effected before the war commenced. The revolution was in the minds and the hearts of the people, changing their religious sentiments of their duties and obligations. And this is an interesting concept because, you know, it was a factious time, much the same as it is now. Folks like Adams and others acknowledge that. But when people realized that what was happening, the way that John Adams put it, while the when the people saw that those powers renouncing all the powers in authority, when they saw those powers renouncing all the principles of authority and bent upon the destruction of all their securities, all securities of their lives, liberties, and properties, they thought it their duty to pray for the Continental Congress and all the 13 states congresses, etc. I think of bad guys realizing that this is a unifying and galvanizing sort of concept, and so you have moments like September 11, 2001, for example, galvanizing the country against a contrived enemy, not a real enemy, an imaginary boogeyman created by the intelligence community and the president's foreign policy advisors, Philip Drew administrator. Anyway, that'll do it for the second hour. Third hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.